Let me bid you a welcome and express appreciation for your being here. And again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. And there's an outline of this morning's lesson in the bulletin. Hope you received one when you came in. I ask my brethren to look around sometimes and make sure everyone has one if you'd like to follow along. I'm only going to take from the scripture reading, I'm just going to take the first two verses this morning. And then, Lord willing, next week, we'll pick up with verse 9, and we'll go as long as we can with the list of one item after another on, as Jim said, what the marks of Christianity look like, according to the Apostle Paul. So sing that song again, Dennis, the one that each day I'll do, because that's next week's, a lot of next week's lesson, practical Christianity. And so we'll be encouraged to copy that which we read from the Bible. So this morning, I just keyed on two words from the text, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. The idea of not conform, but transform. So here are the verses again. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Boy, there's a challenge. But by I like to do definitions, and that's what I've done for you in your outline this morning. Because definitions many times do not only give us the defining of the word, but many times in the definition you receive the application. What does this look like? So when Paul begins by saying, I beseech you, he's urging, saying there's a course of action that I'm begging you to follow. When Paul says, I beseech, he's exhorting. He's saying to you as hearers, I want you to sit up and take notice. Paul says, there's a call to action on your behalf.
Wow.
He's saying, I'm not just asking. I'm beseeching. Must be important. Must be something significant about these words. And he's speaking to you and me. Obviously, I'm the speaker this morning, but I need to take it to heart too. So he says, I'm beseeching you, brethren, Christians, the church that he's addressing. He's addressing, I'm begging each of you. In other words, I want you to make it personal. As we go through this list, don't look, oh, that guy down the road, surely, I hope he's listening. No, I want you to take it to heart yourself. Paul, what do you want me to do? Or my attitude and my action, what do you have planned for me in this lesson? And he's saying, by the mercies of God. The motivation is not just Paul saying, yo, this would be a good idea. No, by the mercies of God, there's a course of action that he wants us to pursue in this letter right here. He's saying the motivation is God's great love for us. He says there's a heavenly, gracious foundation behind my pleading. Again, not just a good idea. Wow. All right, so Paul, I'm sitting up and I'm taking notice. What's the first thing? Oh, don't be conformed to the world. Wow. All right. J.B. Phillips has said it this way in translation. He said, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's right. Don't be conformed to the world. Wow. All right. What does that mean? When you think about the word conform, you're going to be molded by, or don't let the world fashion you. Don't take on the same form as the worldliness or the worldly ways. Don't look or act or think like the world does. Don't copy worldliness. Don't conform to that. Don't adopt the world's actions and the world's image. He's beseeching. He said, this is important things. Not conform to this world. Don't copy its habits, its desires, its value judgments that take you away from God. Is the worldly device of the worldly vices of worldly people. See what the world is doing and not adhering to anything godly? Don't do that. Worldliness are those things that destroy respect and obedience to God's will. If something in the world is going to take you away from worship assembly, don't do that. That's conforming to the world. Wow, Paul. And he's beseeching. This is important. I can almost hear him shouting. He's almost said, I want you to hear this. Wow. Like I said, sit up and take notice. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 2 in the Old Testament, God made an admonition to his people, don't follow a crowd to do evil. That's the worldliness. Don't follow the crowd if they're going to do wrong. Don't conform to that. See? Interesting phrase. I want to read this text to you. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning of verse 17, I just made a note of that in your outline. But Paul addresses almost a similar message in this part of the letter to the church in Ephesus. He says, this I say, therefore. So kind of like Paul says again, I'm beseeching, sit up, listen, adhere, pay attention. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Must be important. That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. All right, now what does the walk of the Gentiles look like? It's in the text. In the futility of their mind, their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Because of the blindness of their heart, who, meaning these Gentiles, being past feeling. When I read that, I always stop and make a note. That's among the most saddest words in the Bible. Who, meaning the Gentiles, being past feeling. In other words, the word of God is not going to reach them right now. They're past feeling. The message that Paul is preaching is not going to touch their heart. They're past feeling. That's worldliness. That's conform to the world. Past feeling. And he goes on. What do the Gentiles look like? They have given themselves over to lewdness. They work all uncleanness with greediness. And then Paul says, but you have not so learned Christ. You've learned better than that. That's what my dad always told me. Brian, you know, front and center, he did something wrong. And one of the first things he'd say, Brian, you know better than that. You know better. That's right. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that's in the world, it talks about the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. Pride of life. It's not, John goes on to say, it's not of the Father. The worldliness that's there, that's not of the Father. It's of the world. And he said, the world passes away. And the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Oh, there's our opposites, aren't they? Don't conform to this, be transformed. Because this is going to pass away. So Paul is saying, I beseech, I urge, I plead, I pray. That God, don't be past feeling. Take it to heart. So now we come to the word transformed. Transformed. It means to change into another form. How does it transform? From worldliness to godliness. It means conversion. You understand a transformer in life. Also, I want you to be transformed. Not conformed to the world. I want you to put off something and put on something. In Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. All right, what am I supposed to take off and put up? Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another. And since you put off the old man with his deeds, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Okay. So now, put off what the world wants you to be and put on Christianity, Christ-likeness.
Yeah.
So I put in your notes, someone asked, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Not if you haven't put off things. Are you going to be, if you were on trial, would you be convicted for being worldly or Christ-like? The evidence. So here's the description that Paul writes about. You can see the list. I've listed about seven things in your notes, right from the text, each phrase. All right. What does transformed look like? What does it mean? Number one, present your bodies. You see, there's an attitude and action of our physical bodies that we need to present to God. Literally, what this right here, this body. I need to make a presentation to God. Present your bodies, number one. You know, in the Old Testament, the Levitical offerings were presented to God on the altar. They would take that sacrifice or that animal sacrificially. There would be a procedure. There was a presentation made. With that in mind, Paul is addressing, I want you to present your bodies. That's me. Remember, take it personally. A living sacrifice. So in contrast to the dead animal, now Paul says, that I want you as a living being, in your living, alive body, I want you to present that sacrificially. So I put in your notes, your sacrifice to God did not end at the baptistry. While we live, as we live, we are making a presentation to God. Hope you want to see it that way. I'm not mad at you. I hope I'm not coming across that way. I just want to beseech, urge, encourage this course of action. Sacrifice. Give it up. Some things you have to give up. Because I want to make my presentation to God, as we're going to see in a moment, acceptable. I want my presentation to God to please Him. Not me. Not my friends. Not my associates. This body that I present in attitude and action, I want God to say, you'll be pleased. If you're going to sacrifice, it means you're going to deny yourself something for a greater good or a blessing. Deny myself for something better than something that just satisfies me at the moment. It means that if I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to relinquish something. Surrender or forsake. I'll present my body a living sacrifice. And if that's not enough, he continues. That's just the first two. Now that presentation is to be holy. The holy word holy means to be set apart for a divine service. And that divine service, biblically, even Old Testament, when the instruments of the temple and tabernacle were consecrated, they were set apart for a divine service, for a particular use. So if God's demanding us to be holy or sanctified, by God's design, we are to use ourselves for God's purpose. Holy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I just make notes of these in your outline. Paul said, don't you know? And I always like those words when Paul says, don't you know? In other words, I need to again sit up and pay attention. All right, there's something I need to get here. Don't you know that you're the temple of God? And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do you know that? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Don't you know that? For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Present my body as a living sacrifice, holy. Holy. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul, I just want to say it again, don't you? He said, yes. Don't you know, all the words again, here we go. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Have I been transformed? Don't call out loud. All right, Brian. I want to be transformed. I want to present my body, living sacrifice, holy. Holy. Next one, number four, is acceptable to God. Means a life that's approved by God. We deliver a sacrificial life to God that He will gladly receive because we're offering a life that's lived in accordance to His will. We offer to God a transformed life of Christian living. And I want my life accepted by God and not accepted by the world's standard. Also, I beseech you to do this. I'm urging, pleading, praying. This is the objective. This is where the bar is set. Then in verse 5, he says, it's reasonable service. So you might be thinking, oh man, that's too much. I can't do that. Wait a minute, this is reasonable. Think about that for a moment. It's reasonable. Think about it. Reason it out. We're the creation of the Creator. And the creation serves the Creator. That's reasonable. It's reasonable that the saved serve the Savior. It's reasonable that the redeemed serve the Redeemer. That's reasonable. Yeah. Let me go. Number 5. That's reasonable service. Number 6, by the renewing of your mind. The idea of renewal is revival. I put in your notes, get rid of your stinking thinking. If you think Christianity's unreasonable, your thinking is stinking. If you think it's too hard to attend an assembly, your thinking is stinking. If you think it's too hard to study and pray, your thinking is stinking. people. It's we've got to renew our mind. If you're not thinking along these lines, you've got to think again. Get back to the Word of God. Paul is in Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Somebody said, well, my faith is weak. Well, then hear the Word of God. My faith is kind of shallow and my faith isn't what it ought to be. Then listen to God's Word. See? It's reasonable. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing the Word of God. Lord, increase my faith. Then God would say, well, listen to what I'm saying. Wow. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourself. Wait a minute, present? I think I've heard that word just a moment ago. Present your bodies. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God. That's our next point. Approved of God. A worker that not needs to be ashamed because he rightly divides the word. Well, back to the word again. See how some of these things, they just fit. They're congruent. Mathematical term. They slide into each other. We make New Year's resolutions. Paul is saying do the same thing here. Make a resolve. This is reasonable service. Renew your mind. Make a resolution thing. That's easy. And then the last one, number 7. That you may prove. Put it to the test. Try it. We do that in life. You build something, you make something, and say, well, let's put it to the test. Engineers of automobiles, manufacturers, they have proving grounds. All right, now we built this. Let's see if it works. Hey? Paul is not asking us to do something unreasonable. Saying do something that we always do in life. Put it to the test. Yeah. You build something, you put the bolts on it or the ropes around it and you tie it down. All right, let's see if it will stand the test. Yeah. It's not unreasonable, not illogical. Put Christianity to the test. Try it. Live a sacrificial life and see if it works. That's a personal challenge, remember. I beseech you, brethren, each of us, prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will is good. I'm putting your notes higher up. But God's never asked us to leave anything that's bad for us. Or no, did I say that right? God's asked us to leave those things that are bad for us. Those things that will harm us or hurt us, either mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. That's what the Bible is saying. God, some people, the Word of God is all negative. Don't do that. Yeah, because those are the things that will hurt. Those are the things that will harm. That's the worldliness that will take you, that God was saying, those are the things that will take you away from me. Don't do that. Transform. Transform. God's will is acceptable. There's no law against that which is good. Not a law against doing good. Prove that good will of God. And the last one, acceptable and is perfect. God's way is the right way. It's perfect. I can't improve on what God's design for my life is. It's there. So that's the lesson. I plead and I pray and I urge and beseech and exhort. Next Lord's Day, Lord willing, I'll start with verse 9. And we'll get 21 other things that God requires of us. You don't think these first 7 are enough. There's 21 more. I won't get it all done in one lesson, I'm sure, because some things I want to beseech. But we'll just take a look at what does Christianity look like according to the Apostle Paul, according to God. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're not a member of the New Testament church, you've not been baptized for remission of sins, there's a simple plan, simple formula, simple recipe, as we say. And number one, you need to hear the word of God. You need to hear it. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? That's a good question. How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So we preach. The commission of Jesus was to go into all the world in Matthew 28. Mark said it, to preach the gospel to every creature. Preach, teach. Jesus said, come learn of me. So we have to hear. Second, we'll need to believe. Jesus said it himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to transform. Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. I want to seek God. Believe that he's God. That God so loved the world he sent his son. I want to believe that. And then number three, I want to repent. I want to turn my life around. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then I want to confess my faith. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to confess my belief. That's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him in Acts chapter 8. Reached a point in his message on Jesus. The Ethiopian interrupts Philip and says, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he makes a confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The first four are not complete yet. There's a fifth. When he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. And they go down into the water and Philip baptizes him. They come up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Transformation is always an occasion of joy. Put it to the test. That's our lesson. You're subject to that invitation. Whosoever will may come. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, if that's what you'd like to do this morning, we can accomplish it. Let's stand together. We'll sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you need to come in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song and let your request be known.